the book of 1 Corinthians. I had to slip out. I realized I forgot my glasses. That would be an awfully short message. I'm kind of like that lady. Well, hey, wait, what are y'all saying? You see what happened there? Truth comes out and it hurts. It cuts like a knife. Just for that, I'm adding 15 minutes to this sermon this morning. And I was going to just be done like at 11:30. That was my plan, but now we're going all the way to noon. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, I heard about this lady that was in the bedroom looking in the mirror, and she was just looking herself over, and she said, oh, man, look at all this gray hair. Look at these crow's feet. She's like, oh, look at the wrinkles, and she's just going on and on. She goes, I can't believe what gravity is doing to me. She looked at her husband, and she said, I just can't believe this. And he said, well, on a positive note, honey, your eyes work great. So I kind of feel like that lady this morning. I need some glasses. All right. 1 Corinthians. Let's get over there to it. And it's been a long day already. We went to the airport this morning. We got there at about 4:30 a.m. to see our daughter and Bryce as they're getting ready to head to their next assignment. And one of those, as we described, bittersweet moments. Happy for them. But I've had that quiver, you know, that quiver voice that I've had for about 2 days as we've just been trying to get ready for all that. But we're happy for them. They landed safely in Baltimore, and now they will be boarding soon to head on to their next assignment. But very much going to miss them, but also very proud of them at the same time. All righty, 1 Corinthians 16. How many of you are there already? Did I tell you what number? I just said 1 Corinthians, didn't I? Well, my goodness. That's some pertinent information, no doubt. 1 Corinthians, did I say, what did I tell you? 16. I said 16, yeah, 16. 16 is where we're at. Let me check my glasses, make sure. Yeah, 16. Oh, man. All righty. Let's get right into this, if you will. Miss Kristen, thank you for that beautiful song and for the enjoyed hearing our Power of Praise singers this morning as they get up here every Sunday morning and sing. And then hearing you sing with them just adds so much to the service. The power of music just brings joy, and it brings the Spirit of God into the place. I'm so happy that we are a church that loves to sing. Amen. Amen. All righty, here we go. Look at verse number 17. We're going to look at three guys real quickly that did something really good. Look at this. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you today, Lord. We're glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm so glad that we're here together today and worshiping you. We've already worshiped you through song. We've sang as a group, and we've heard a special song. And Lord, we've greeted each other. We've shook hands. We've fellowshiped. We've hugged. We've done all the things, Lord. Now we're coming to that place that we have to focus on the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you can use me today to be a blessing and to be an encouragement as we look at what these three men did and why it's so important and how they benefited those around them, how they made the world a better place around them. Lord, I want to talk about that today, how to make the world a better place, how to make the world a better place. Now, Lord, I pray that everybody will just give me their attention for a few moments and let us take what these three men and duplicate it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here in verse number 17, we see three guys mentioned here, and we see that they did two things. It says, number one, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. We see that the first thing they're commended for is that they met the need where it was lacking. So we see in these three men, they were generous men. They were generous people. They were people who saw a need, and they filled that need. They didn't just sit around complaining about the need. They didn't point it out to others. They themselves stepped up, and they filled the need. Where it was lacking, they completed it. And then we see a second thing that is said about them in verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. These are people that are spirit refreshers. These three men had the ability to help people have a better spirit. Man, I tell you what. Notice what he says about him here. He says this in verse 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. He says, I am glad of the coming. Let me ask you a quick question. I wonder, are people glad when they see you coming? That's pretty rough, isn't it? I mean, do people get glad when they hear you're coming to the party? Do people get glad when they pull up in the church and they see you standing in the church parking lot? Are they glad when they have to cross your paths down at the HEB and they see you in the aisle? Are people glad when they see you? I mean, stop and ponder that for a minute. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think when people know they're going to be in your presence? How does that make them feel? Now we see three guys. Paul says, I am glad of the coming. I'm glad they're coming. I'm excited. I have joy in my heart because these three guys are coming. Man, I hope that can be said about me. I'm sure you hope that can be said about you. I hope that when people are in your presence makes them glad. Because these three men definitely had that gift. Let me ask you a question then. I asked you, are people glad when they see you? Well, let me ask you this. What spirit do you bring into a room? What spirit? You know, the Greeks used the word for perfume, and it was the same word they used for spirit. And there was a meaning connected there. You ever been in a room and you could tell that somebody had been in it, even though they've left, but their perfume or their fragrance lingered? Or when they come in a room, you can tell their presence because there's that fragrance. Okay? Your spirit is much like a fragrance. When you come into a room, sometimes you can tell when a certain person has been in a room because their spirit lingers after they've left the room. You can come into a room and sometimes find people just joyful. Joyful. And often it's because they've been in the presence of a joyful person and that fragrance of their spirit has spilled over. And though they've left the room, the spirit of the room is joy. By the same token, you can walk into a room and find a spirit angry or bitter or depressed. And sometimes people bring those spirits wherever they go. They come into a room full of joy, they leave it, it's a room full of mourning. There are people that bring a fragrance or a spirit into a room. And let's just be honest, some people, their spirit stinks. You know, there's some, there's some perfumes that smell good to some people but don't smell good to others. And there are some perfumes that, you know, you put it on you and for whatever it is, your chemistry doesn't blend well with it. Am I right about that? And there are some perfumes that if you're in the room with whoever's wearing it, you'll get a headache and nauseated. You ever had it? You ever walked through the mall where they're always trying to spritz you, those ladies in all the black clothing come up to you, hey, try this. And you walk through that. You ever walk through it and get through it and you suddenly have a headache? Or your nose is burning? Or you're feeling a little nauseated? You know, some people have that effect on people. Their spirit does, just like a fragrance. Their spirit makes you feel down, sad, hopeless, depressed. We see three guys here who had a spirit that made their coming a joyful thing and it made their presence, their spirit in the room, something that is described as being refreshing. So I ask you, what do people feel when they hear you're coming or whenever they're in your presence? What spirit do you bring to the party? What spirit do you bring to church? What spirit do you bring into the room? Hey, what benefit comes with you? When they hear you're coming, what's the benefit of you coming? Now, these three guys, the benefit was they were generous and they were refreshers. They're going to make everybody in the room happier, more full of hope, more full of joy. So there was a benefit that came with these three guys. Hey, what's the benefit of knowing you? Amen? Hey, I want to encourage you to join the clubs. Let me give you quickly, just by way of introduction, four clubs that everybody ought to join if you want to be like these three guys. If you want to be the person, how many of you say, preacher, with all honesty, I would kind of like for people to be glad if they hear I'm coming? Raise your hand. I'd kind of be glad. I mean, I'd hate to be the person that's like, oh, man, Eddie's coming. Oh, good grief. Do I have to sit by him? Do I have to talk to him? Eddie's a great guy. I don't know why the Lord, the Holy Spirit led me to you. Sitting next to you in volleyball games all year. We had a lot of fun, didn't we? A lot of fun. A lot of commentary. We had a good time. But I would hate to be that guy. Well, four clubs you ought to join. Number one, the Smile Club. Say that with me. The Smile Club. Hey, just when you walk in a room, if you want to bring a good spirit in a room, I'll tell you all, you don't have to have a bunch of charisma. You don't have to tell wonderful, exciting, and hilarious jokes like I do. You cannot have that gift. Some of you don't have the gift. I've heard you tell jokes. Leave it to us professionals. Just stay out of that neighborhood. Now, let me tell you what you can do in any room you're in. If you want to make it a room that's got a good spirit, just simply walk in a room and do this. Kind of helps if you sway, like, hey, when you walk in a room and you just smile, you make that room a happier room. Let's practice smiling. Here we go. Now, some of you, I don't know, your face might hurt. It might be a little painful at first. It takes more muscles, you know, to frown than it does to smile. But when muscles aren't used, they can get weak. Here we go. I'm going to count to three and you're going to smile. One, two, three. Isn't that great? How many of you just feel better? Did you know that smiling and laughing releases endorphins in your body that make you feel good? I don't understand people that get mad at us for laughing in church. You know, if there's anything that I've had a couple of times where people have come out the door and have harshly critiqued me, and not because I was doctrinally incorrect or even homiletically incorrect, and that even that my message didn't have meat in it. You know what I've been hit more than anything in my ministry in 33 years? They hate that I tell jokes or that I'm funny, that I tell funny stories. You know, I don't know. I mean, there's certainly a place for crying at church. There's certainly times to cry. I think in the Bible it says there's a time to laugh and a time to mourn. Why does the church only want one and not the other? And there are people that would come here, a guy like me preach, and there's other guys like me, but man, they sit there and just be like, and you tell a joke, and they roll from this side, they go, then you tell another joke, they go. And I'm thinking, boy, you're sure a blessing. I bet your house is a ball of laughs. I just think it feels good to laugh. Now, there's times that I have cried, and crying releases things. It releases things in your body that are needful and good. Certainly a time to cry. And there's certainly a time and a place and appropriateness for the correct emotions to be displayed. But I think church ought to be a happy place. I think it ought to have a spirit of joy. It ought to have a spirit of joy. And listen, if you're one of those people that hates laughter, I'm just going to warn you, you're not going to like Town East Baptist Church. I'm not trying to run anybody away, but you're not going to be happy here. And it didn't start with me. Brother Larry had a spirit of joy. I've gone back and watched videos. I never had the privilege of knowing him personally. But Brother Larry had the gift of a good spirit. I can see that. And I can see that in the people that he left for me to come pastor. I came into a church that had a spirit of joy. And you know what? I would rather feel happy than sad. And certainly there's times I feel sad. But hey, you want to make the world around you a better place? Let me give you a club you ought to join. These three men were a member of it, I believe. The Smile Club. When you come to church, put on a smile. You say, well, preacher, I've had a horrible week. What are you trying to do, start an epidemic? Heard about a man that called his doctor at 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, doctor, I need help. The doc said, what's the matter? He said, I can't sleep. The doc said, looked at his watch and said, what are you trying to do, start an epidemic? Oh, man, I think people sometimes are trying to start a depression epidemic. Look, in church, there's times that all of us may have had a rough week and a rough day and maybe even a bad morning. The devil's going to make sure every Sunday morning is rough. But you know what? I'm just simply saying, if you want to make the world around you a better place, join the Smile Club. You come in and to choose to get a blessing by being a blessing. You know, I've always believed as a pastor that nobody comes to church to hear about my bad week. I don't want to get up in my message and tell you how rough my week's been and all the things that we've been through. Y'all come to be encouraged, and you come to be lifted up, and you come to get hope. But you know, it shouldn't be a one-man job. We ought to help each other with this. By the same token, people come to church to be lifted up by fellow believers. They need to be encouraged by people in the pews as well as a man in a pulpit. And we need to join that Smile Club. Join that Smile Club. I mean, it's up to you. If you want to be the person people say, oh, they're coming to the party, fantastic! Or, oh, they're coming to the party? Join the Smile Club. Number two, join the Compliment Club. Join the Compliment Club. What is the Compliment Club? Saying nice things to people. Finding something about people that you like and mentioning it. I mean, when you see that lady at the church that's been to the beauty shop, and she was a brunette last week, now she looks like Marilyn Monroe this week. But you know, when she walks in, she's going to feel a little self-conscious. It's something that's a drastic change, a whole new hair color. I got married to my wife. Every time I left to go on a revival, I'd be gone for a week. I'd come home and she'd have a different hair color. Every time. Am I right, honey? I mean, I told you need to put a pinwheel on your driver's license with different shades. Because her driver's license picture wouldn't look anything like her. I mean, I'm like, there were times that she had to go get another one done because, like, nobody believed it was her. Am I right, babe? She liked doing all that. Smile. Just smile. But you know, when women get their hair done, they come in, they're kind of wondering, does it look good? I hope it looks good. Man, you know what you can do to really help that lady? Say, hey, looks great on you. Looks great. You see one of our kids around here do something good. We started a program at our school 2 years ago entitled, I Got Caught Doing Something Good. And you know, I believe in discipline. We got to have discipline. And we have what's called blue slips. And our teachers give blue slips out. And they do a great job of keeping things in line. And let's just consort the expert in blue slips. Owen, tell everybody what a blue slip is. What is a blue slip and how do you get one?
A lot of things you can get it for.
Yeah. You've got a pretty long list of things you've gotten them for, I'm sure. We got to get out of here by noon, so you know we have to come back. We don't have time to hear the list. Hey, I believe in it. I believe in it, and we ought to do it, and it's good to do it. And there are things that may come with those blue slips that they have to do. And it helps keep order, and it keeps the kids in line. But by the same token, I love it that our teachers are looking for things that our kids do that's good. And we have a little slip when they get caught doing something good. It may be something as simple as they saw a kid go pick up the trash off the floor after all the kids were eating lunch without being told to do it. And so they'll write that kid a slip. Now when that kid gets one, they come over to my office at some point and we get a picture together, which we post on the Facebook site, and we say a little word about them and we brag on them. And then I give them a bunch of candy and we usually cut up in my office a minute, and sometimes there'll be 7 or 8 kids come over at one time and we'll get pictures and we just have a blast. And I'll read their slip and brag on them for a second. And man, I love it. I love the spirit that comes with complimenting. Now, sometimes you need a critique. Sometimes you need to be told what you're doing is not good. Sometimes there is rebuke in order to reprove. But there ought to be room in our spirit for complimenting. Amen. For saying, hey, you've lost 30 pounds. Man, you look great. Wow. Hey, your new car. Wow, that is beautiful. Can I borrow it? No, I mean, don't say that. Oh, man. I don't know. We can analyze it, but some people, it's not their personality to be complimentive. Some people, it could be the sin of envy that keeps you from being complimentive, or maybe even the sin of covetousness. For instance, if someone gets a brand new car, and instead of saying, "What a beautiful new car," you go out and you point out the one scratch on the paint job. Did you see this scratch on it? I don't know. But I do know that if we want to make the world a better place around us, join the compliment club. I think these three guys were complimenters. And in doing so, they refreshed the spirit. I imagine they were the kind of people that, when they saw Paul, complimented his teachings. They probably weren't so upset about him being long-winded. Did you hear that? Sometimes I've preached messages, and I think the only thing people got out of it was how long it was. I don't know if that's my fault or theirs, but it could go either way, I guess. But I imagine they were the kind that came and complimented Paul for his work and complimented the fellow Christians in the church. And they were the kind of people that said good words and tried to notice people around the church doing things. I mean, look, when you pull up and you see that lawn beautifully mowed and you know who did it, go up to them and say, "Hey, the lawn looks great. What's so hard about that? Why is it so hard for us to do it?" You know why a lot of people end up not doing good things very long? They feel that nobody notices it. Now, it's not that they're doing it for praise necessarily. And there are people who feel that if you give a compliment to somebody that you kind of take away their heavenly reward. I don't think that it works that way. I don't think it works that way. Now, I think if we do it for that cause, we may forfeit a heavenly reward. But us standing away watching somebody doing something good, I don't think that we're doing anything wrong to say good job. For instance, if somebody sings a special. And I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Until you get up here and do it, you have no idea how nerve-wracking it is and how self-conscious it is. And if you go home and watch yourself on the live feed, you'll never want to sing again. Somebody say amen. Yeah. It never sounds good on the live feed. Man, I don't even like to watch myself preach. I think, my goodness, what in the world? But you know what? You could have somebody sing a song, and all they felt is I missed that one note, and my timing got off for a moment. They'll go home and replay that in their head all afternoon and think, man, I really made a mess of that. Any of you singers in the room ever deal with that? Then all of a sudden, someone comes out at the, you know what I'm talking about, Brother Jeremy? Somebody comes out the back and says, "Oh, your song really spoke to my heart. That was beautiful." Now, look, it could be the difference in somebody choosing to never sing again or saying, "Hey, maybe it wasn't that bad and the Lord used it." Be a part of the compliment club. Compliment each other. Compliment each other. You know, every old dog gets excited when they hear the word sickle. You know, just everything needs some encouragement once in a while. Something to stir them up. Compliments encourage people. Hey, let me give you a third club you can join. If you want to be a refresher of souls and you want to make the world around you a better place, join the Fellow Laborer Club. The Fellow Laborer Club. Say that with me. Fellow Laborer Club. You know, there's fellowship in labor. There's joy. How many of you felt fellowship in what we did last Sunday night? We were there. We were all busy. You know, we were at our posts. But sometimes I'd get a little break between kids coming by, and I'd watch, look around at our church family. And it just felt good that I was there surrounded by people working for the Lord. And I saw people. And it was cold and it was windy. But I would look around and I'd see people smiling, laughing, and getting a joy out of doing the labor at the church. Oh, man, you know, you encourage people when you help them, when you get in there and do it. It refreshes my spirit when I have a big event. Every pastor has fears when you try to endeavor to do something. You have fear that no one's going to get involved with it. I've had horrible dreams on the night before a big event. I'm afraid no one's going to show up or no one's going to come or no one's going to help. man, there's a lot of anxiety when you're handling some kind of big thing. You know, for weeks leading up to a revival, you guys know I call it the darkness. The darkness comes on me as a leader. And I start to think of all the ways the devil's going to get in here and try to mess this up. And I start to feel that oppression of spiritual battle. And then I also have those dreams and worries and fears that people aren't going to cook, people aren't going to clean, people aren't going to come. We're going to get up and there's going to be nobody in the auditorium. But I'll tell you what's exciting, refreshes my spirit when I walk out there and there's people in their place doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I see the ushers ushering. And I see the singers singing. And I see the nursery workers watching the nursery. And I see a security team where they're supposed to be. And I see it all working. And it refreshes me. And I see the church member sitting in the pew with their Bible in hand, excited about what God is going to do in their life. And boy, I tell you, it refreshes me. And I go from the darkness to the light of excitement and joy and what God is doing. And it all goes back to just having fellow laborers, people in the trenches, people doing it with you. You don't feel alone. You want to make the world around you a better place? Help people with their burdens. Now, every man has to bear his own burden. And the your potential lies in this one factor. Your potential lies in this one factor. How well can you carry your own personal burden? And a person that can't carry their own burden, their potential is greatly shortened, greatly reduced. When you can't carry the burdens of success, your success is limited. If you can't carry the burdens of your life, then your life will be greatly limited. But by the same token, isn't it great when somebody comes along and helps you carry your burden? Isn't it great when somebody gets over there on the other end of it and helps you carry it? Oh, man. I hope that you'll choose to be a person who helps people carry their burdens. Be a fellow laborer. Join the fellow laborer club. And let me give you a fourth club really quickly. If I get my eyes on where I can read it. The consolation club. You want to be a refresher of souls? Learn how to console people. Learn how to console people. You know, as a church family, we see people go through hard things. Hard things. Loss of jobs. Sometimes loss of love, family members. We see people going through problems often with maybe even their kids or their spouse. Problems in their spiritual life. And you know, sometimes you may even see a fellow Christian get into sin, fall into sin. One of the things I love, now he's not mentioned in this portion of Scripture, but he's a very prevalent person in the Word of God, is the man named Barnabas. Barnabas had the nickname, who knows what it was? Son of Consolation. He was just somebody that wanted to believe in people that were often hard to believe in. And we see the example several times. You look at Saul, who was a killer of Christians, gets converted, and wants to join the church. They were suspicious. How do we know that he's not joining just to infiltrate us, to betray us into the hands of our captors? Church wasn't like it is now. They had to do it underground, Brother Russell. I often wonder what church would be like today if we had to do that. As hard as it is to come with no one stopping us, what would it be like if we worried about being arrested, rounded up, and in prison? Something to think about. Well, I'll be honest, a lot of the church leaders didn't trust Saul, and they didn't want him there. His past was not that far in the past. You know what I'm saying? We're not talking 20 years ago. We're talking like 20 minutes ago. Well, there's old Barnabas who steps up. Come on, guys. The Lord changes people. Let's give him a chance. He put his arm around him and took him under his wing. Later on, we see him do it with John Mark. And you know, Paul was done with John Mark. And Barnabas and Paul had an argument that was so contentious, they split over it. And he was done with him. And Barnabas wasn't willing to throw him away just yet. And they had these arguments. You know, in the end, we see John Mark rebound from all that. He ends up writing the book of Mark. I wonder what would have happened if there hadn't been a Barnabas there. Somebody to console. And you know, around you there's hurting people, struggling people. And boy, a church is so benefited when there are people in that church body who just have that spirit of consolation. They know how to console, comfort. They're that one that when you've, you know how it is, you go through a death and everybody rallies at first. They bring over the casserole. You got 37 casseroles frozen in the deep freeze. And there's cards that pour in, texts and calls. And then you have that service. And everybody comes and they love on you. And then everybody goes home. And within about a week, you're there kind of by yourself to deal with it. That's when the quietness becomes the enemy. That smothering grip that can come with it, form of grief. But then there's that consoling person that long after everybody else has left, they linger. They're the ones that just out of the blue pop by to see you. Hey, just want to come by and check on you. How you doing? You want to go get something to eat? Let's go to the mall and go shopping. Let's go get our nails done. Hopefully that's not you, Nick. Just saying. Let's go shoot some guns. Amen. Those people that will be there consoling you. Boy, it's a great thing. It's a great gift. And people that have that spirit of consolation, they bring so much strength to the world around them. There's no telling how many people they lift up. And I love the word that Paul uses in verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. He's saying, hey, people that do what these guys did, acknowledge this. It's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. Hey, listen, there's four clubs you can be a part of. If you'll do these four simple things in the circle of friends and people you dwell in, you'll make a difference. You'll make your school a better school, young people. If you do these four things. That girl that just tripped and fell and her books went flying across the room. Now, some people would grab their phone and start videoing that, put it on YouTube or Instagram. Some people would start laughing and pointing at her. Let me tell you what somebody with a member of the Consolation Club, you know what that person would do? Jump up, run over and help her up, grab her books, help dust her off. I love that statement. I don't know who came up with it, but be the kind of woman that straightens another woman's crown. I love that. Isn't that a great thing? But a consolation member would jump up and help, not exploit. You know what I'm saying? Hey, people like this refresh people around them. And people need refreshing. Life gets heavy. Life gets hard. Life sometimes draws you to places where you feel like you want to quit. And we see these people, these three men, and Paul says, hey, acknowledge what they do. And I think in that word acknowledging, I think he's encouraging us to emulate what they do. To acknowledge it, to study it. Think about it. Notice it. And I think there's a connotation here that I feel anyway in the spirit to go and do likewise. I love that verse. I've got much, much more to say. In fact, I got three pages of notes that I hadn't even touched, but I'm just going to give you my introduction this morning. I love that verse that says that the apostles, they took note that they had been with Jesus. They said about them, they had been with Jesus, and you could feel it. Man, I hope that when people are around you and your spirit, they take note that you've been spending some time with Jesus this week. I hope they take note. and the fact that you've got a smile on your face. My dad had a little card that he had printed up years ago. We handed them out all over the place. But on the front of it, it said, if you're saved, tell your face. And it had some verses about joy and all that on it. We handed them out all over the place. But if you're saved, tell your face. Be a part of the Smile Club. It feels good. And it makes people around you feel good. You ever notice when you walk up to somebody and they smile, it's a universal language? When you walk up to a store and you see an employee standing there, and when you walk up and he looks at you and smiles, you don't mind asking him where something's at. You know, you ever been at Walmart and you can't find anything and you got to ask the employee? But you walk up and somebody looks at you and just goes, you're like, find somebody else. It's a universal thing. When somebody smiles, you just kind of, it's kind of like the white hat in a cowboy movie, you know. It's, he's a good guy, you know. Stand up for a second here. The Lord led me over here. Wait, when I tell you to turn around, do it. Ready? You ready? Watch this. Watch this. $1 million smile. Turn around, smile. Boom. That's what I'm talking about right there. Woo. It's impossible to be in a room with this guy and feel depressed. It just make me happy looking at you. All right. Omega says, trust me, there's another side. There's another side. That smile can turn upside down in a heartbeat. Oh, man, I want to be a part of that smile club. Just smile. When you come in a room, smile. You know, not just with your teeth. Smile with your spirit. Smile with your spirit. Sometimes, for the sake of other people, we have to put on the emotional face of what benefits people around us. And somebody might call that being a fake. Well, I might be a jerk, but at least I'm real. Why don't you make the real you a better you? Where you don't have to fake your smile. Fake your niceness. Well, I was in a bad mood, and I feel like it would be phony if I came in there and looked happy. I think I can safely speak for all of us. I'd rather you be a phony at work and me not have to put up with somebody that's just a jerk all day. Just because, you know, the neighbor's dog got in your trash this morning. You're going to come to work and make everybody have a bad day. I'm just simply saying there are people. We see three guys who, when word came that they were coming, it made everybody glad. Boy, I hope that that's what's said of us. And we see that they did things, and they were a refresher of the people in the church. Now, I gave you four little clubs you can join. I'm not sure if they did those things, but I suspect they did. Make the world a better place around you. Somebody said, you be the world you want to see in everybody else. You be that world. I want you to bow your heads. I've got so much more to say. I may pick up on it next week. I may give you a part two to this. I mean, I didn't even get past the introduction. But I know if I go further, we'll be here for at least 30 more minutes. And we've got a lot happening. I didn't bring a salvation message like I usually do on a Sunday morning. I brought more of a Sunday night type sermon. But I want to encourage you. Help our church be a good church by being a refresher of people, by considering your spirit. Join these four clubs. Go around smiling. Go around complimenting. Go around consoling people when you feel they're down. Help bring them up. It takes strength to do that. It takes a powerful person to help others come up. It takes a very selfless person to be a consoling person. But I tell you what, a consoler is somebody that gets great joy out of helping people emotionally. Oh, man, be that complimenter, all those things. Is there anyone here today that could say, preacher, if I died today and I stood before the Lord and he were to ask me, why should I let you into heaven? I'd have to think about that question because I really don't know what I would say. If I stood before Jesus right now, if my number was punched and I was called to stand before Him in glory, and He were to say, "Why should I let you into heaven?" Now, if you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I know exactly what I would say. I know what the Bible has taught me, and I've got this settled. I'm ready to meet the Lord." Would you raise your hand? "I'm ready. I know what I would say on that day." Man, I see hands everywhere. You can lower your hands. Now, I can't help but wonder, is there somebody here today that could say, "Preacher, I couldn't honestly raise my hand because I really don't know what I would say. And the thought of that troubles me. Would you pray for me?" Now, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to send anybody to you. But if you'll raise your hand in all honesty that you just don't know the answer to that question, "Why should I let you into heaven? I really don't know." Listen, if you'll raise your hand, I'll pray for you. And I'll seek to help you. If you'll put your hand up right now, put it right back down. Put that hand up, put it right back down. I'm the one watching, no one else is. In a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to stand, to arise. And when I do, the altars are going to become open to you to come and pray. And I don't know what your burden is. Everybody in this room's got burdens, worries, troubles, things that keep you awake at night and often wake you up early in the morning, things that draw you down, bring despair. I tell you, the greatest place to find relief is not in a psychiatry office, but often on your knees in prayer. Come up and try prayer. Give it to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, won't you at least give me a chance to help you this morning, to give you some information that could help you settle that question. Dear Father, we come to you today, Lord, looking at these three men in Scripture who left such an impact on the local church there. So much so that Paul rejoiced when he heard they were coming. Lord, I want that. I want that to be the way people see me. I want people, when they see me coming, to be happy to see me, or to feel that I'm going to leave them in a more joyful way than I found them. And Lord, I pray that where I linger, where I lack in that, that I can be strengthened. And I'm sure our people feel the same. Some people are naturally that way. Some people have to work at it. But I pray that everybody who goes by the name Christian would seek to have a Christ-like spirit. Because when I read the Word, I feel that everybody that ever met you left better. And I want that. I want to be that kind of person. And I pray that we'll join those clubs and be a part of them and implement those things into our life to make the world around us a better place. Now, Lord, hear the prayers of your children. We ask this in Jesus' name.